viewers everywhere in the entire globe, not only in the Muslim world. I welcome you to a new series in which Allah the Almighty will open our hearts and minds in order to understand the truth in an attempt to accept it and act upon it by Allah's leave. This series is titled Our Belief. We're going to discuss what do Muslims believe? Why do they love God so much? And why do they revere their Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well as the rest of the prophets and messengers so much, and they make no distinction between any of them? Why are they so attached to their book? Why do they seem to react whenever anything that hurts their faith or belief anywhere in the entire world, they would react to it? In order to bridge the gap between Muslims and non-Muslims, this program is produced in order to bring Muslims back into the main belief, to the mainstream, and to remain steadfast for those who are already on the mainstream. This program was put together by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was reading in the Quran and I found a verse in the third chapter, which is known as Ali Imran. This verse is worth of pondering. It needs a long pause. Allah the Almighty commanded the believers in this verse as follows. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Very interesting. Let's know what it means in English. Allah the Almighty says, O you who believe. So He's addressing the believers, those who already accepted faith. They believe in Allah, in the last day, and all His prophets. He's addressing them by saying, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. Fear Allah as it should be, as He should be feared. Keep your duty to Him in the best way, in the best fashion. And die not but as Muslims. It is very amazing. Allah is calling upon the believers to make sure that they will die in a state of Islam. What does it mean? It means, brothers and sisters, guidance is not for granted. Not because you and I happen to be born in Islam, that means we'll be capable to maintain the state of guidance until we reach safely to heaven or receive salvation on the day of judgment. No, people do change. Some people abandon their religions. Some people get persuaded by Satan, by the worldly temptation, by ignorance, by arrogance, by so many other means, and they end up departing their religion. So they were born in a state of pure nature. They were born to Muslim parents. They have been taught the Quran, but for a reason or another, they deviate. They go astray. So the Quran emphasizes the very important fact, which is that you have to remain steadfast and keep on the straight path until you meet Allah the Almighty safely, or else. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And in order for any person to remain steadfast until he reaches safely to heaven, he and she are required to observe righteousness and piety. And observing this righteousness would not happen haphazardly. First, one is required to know, what does Allah want from us? What does our Creator want from us? And what are our duties to Him? In one very interesting hadith, we find the great Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks one of his companions, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, may Allah be pleased with him. And he says, O Mu'adh, do you know what's Allah's right upon His servants? Do you know? Brothers and sisters, do you guys know what does Allah want from us? Very important question. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, O Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon him, know best. That was an excellent answer, since the question was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and perhaps that he had something to add, elaborate and explain. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, Allah and His Messenger know best. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Haqqullah, Allah's right upon His servants is that they should worship Him alone and not to associate any with Him in worship. This is what Allah wants from us. He wants us to worship Him alone. and not to commit any form of shirk or deviation or setting partners to Him in worship. By the way, setting partners to God in worship is not by simply praying to idols or worshiping other than God. There are so many forms where sometimes people who are supposedly Muslims, belonging to the Muslim Ummah, they may practice these forms of shirk. So this program was also designed in order to explain to people the correct belief. What do we believe in? And how should we worship Allah the Almighty according to His will, not according to our desires? Since Allah is the Creator, since Allah is the only one who is worthy of worship, then He is the only one who is a legislator. And worship is not simply the prayers and fasting. Worship is in our entire life. There is a beautiful verse by the end of Surah Al-An'am, the Kathir. Prophet Muhammad and his followers were commanded to say, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Many people think that religion is only in the mosque, in the masjid, in the places of worship, only in Mecca or in Saudi Arabia or in the Prophet's masjid or during Ramadan in Islamic centers. Nay, not at all. Islam is a way of life. And that's why true Muslims do not make any distinction between what's religious and what's worldly. Everything belongs to Allah. We all belong to Allah. So we eat according to His will. We eat according to what He desires. And we abstain from eating and drinking whatever displeases Him. We deal in our daily lives according to what He likes. This is the behavior of the true Muslims. While I was praying Aisha in congregation, the Imam happened to recite a beautiful verse of Surah Al-Zariyat. It is verse number 56, in which Allah the Almighty says, summarizing the purpose of life, many, many people, including those who are living in very advanced societies, do not know why were they created. The verse says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah the Almighty is declaring the fact. What is the purpose of life? Why did He create us? This question has been asked very frequently. Why are we here? What is the purpose of our existence? Why are we present in this life? Why do we have to live for a very brief time, then die? And what's going to happen after death? So Allah the Almighty answers by saying that I have not created jinn nor ins, the jinn and humans, except for a single task, which is to worship me alone. I remember once in the States, in a big gathering, I presented this question and I said, do you know why were you created? What is the purpose of your life? So one of the audience answered, because I was pointing to other to various people to answer. So one of them answered, and he said simply, and he was very proud of his answer, well, it was my parents' fault. That means his life is very insignificant. His life is worth nothing. He does not appreciate the value of life. He doesn't get it. Why was he created? He thinks that it was his parents' fault. That they had a desire, they had a sexual contact, and as a result of that, his mother conceived. Otherwise, he didn't even want to come to this life. While for the believers, they value and appreciate this gift, life, in which one would have plenty of time and chances to worship Allah the Almighty, to fulfill as much as we can of our obligations and duties, to prove practically through our actions to Allah the Almighty that we love Him, we believe in Him, and we're willing to give any sacrifice in order to prove our faith and monotheism. Accordingly, Mu'ad ibn Jabal once again was asked, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered his first question when he said, do you know what Allah's right upon His servant? He said, to worship and not to associate any with Him in worship. Then once again the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Mu'ad ibn Jabal, oh Mu'ad, and do you know what's the servant's rights upon Allah? Do we have rights upon Allah? Do we have a right upon Allah? He said, yes. Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, Allah and His Messenger know best. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered that if his servants worship him alone and they do not associate any with him in worship, then Allah promises not to punish them, to give them salvation on the Day of Judgment. وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ So this incident, the Prophet's question to Mu'adh and his answers, along with the ayah of Surah Al-Zariyat, number 56, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ And verse number 162 of Surah Al-An'am, the cattle, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Say, indeed, my prayers, my rituals, my sacrifice, my life and my death all belong to Allah, the world, the Lord of everything that exists. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ He has no partners. وَبِذَٰلِكَ أُمِرْتْ And I was commanded to do so. To live my life, devote my entire life to Allah. To worship Him, not only in the prayers, or in fasting, but in every aspect of life. When you get married, you choose your life mate based on what pleases him, in order to worship him properly. Why would you like to have children? For the same reason. So that Allah the Almighty will bless you in them, and they will be your investment, your asset in this life, so that they will supplicate for you after your death. They will be a continuation for your life after you expire. There are so many beautiful meanings that stem in from believing in Allah, the Almighty. Why do you acquire such knowledge, whether medicine or engineering or? Because Allah, the Almighty, commanded us to compete in seeking knowledge. And the very first command in the Quran was, اقرأ, read. So you are instructed to be advanced in knowledge, in technology, as well as religious knowledge. Why do you do everything in life? قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ I'm the first to be amongst Muslims. Obviously for you and I, we're not the first to be amongst Muslims. But this is a declaration of that we're willing to compete to be among the first who accept faith and declare their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just by statement, but by actions as well. One day, a Jew said to Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu arda, and I want you to live this moment with me and imagine that Umar ibn Khattab was the second caliph. He was Amir al-Mu'mineen. Not just the president of a small country here or there, he was the president of the entire Muslim ummah, which was almost constituting almost two-thirds of the entire world back then. So he allows a Jew, one who's not on his religion, but he is one under his guardianship, living in a Muslim state. A Jew had a dialogue with Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, you guys have a verse in your Quran. If this verse was revealed to us in the Torah, we would have considered the day of its revelation a Eid day, a festival. We would have celebrated this day every single year, annually, because of its great significance. So Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, asked the Jew and he said, what verse is it? He said, the verse which says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ By the way, for your reference, it is verse number 3 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Chapter Al-Ma'idah or the table. So Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, said, By Allah, I know exactly when and where it was revealed. By Allah. It was revealed on Eid day. So we also celebrate the day of its revelation. It was revealed on the day of Arafah, and it happened to be a Friday, which is Eid day. There is a weekly Eid for Muslims, which is Friday. And there is annually two Eids. Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Besides that, Muslims do not recognize any other holidays or festivals or celebrations. Muslims do not celebrate Christmas. They do not celebrate Hanukkah. They do not celebrate Christmas Eve or Thanksgiving or Independent Day or Halloween or any of that. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Al-Madinah, he found the Muslims were celebrating some Eid. So he asked, what is this? They said, these are 2 days we used to celebrate in Jahiliyyah before Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam objected to that. And he said, indeed, Allah has given you better 2 Eids. Have replaced any old Eid or celebration with these 2 Eids. Eid al-Fitri wa Eid al-Adha. Celebration of breaking our fast after Ramadan, after fasting for the whole month of Ramadan, and the celebration of performing Hajj and pilgrimage, following the footsteps and commemorating the remembrance of the sacrifice which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did to sacrifice when he sacrificed a sheep or a ram instead of slaughtering Ismail, peace be upon him. Down the road, inshallah, we'll get to speak in details about all of that, because Islam was not only the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was not only the religion of the Arab or the Muslims or those who speak Arabic. No, Islam is the only religion which was chosen by Allah the Almighty for mankind. In the Quran, Allah the Almighty made it very clear. He said, "Inna ad-dina 'inda Allahi al-Islam." Verily, the only religion with Allah, the only accepted religion with Allah is Islam. Besides that, Allah does not accept any other faith or religion. And it was the message of all the prophets before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to their people. It was the mission of Jesus, the son of Mary, Moses, and it was the mission of his brother Harun, and Ibrahim, Prophet Abraham, the father of all the prophets, and before all, Noah, and Adam, peace be upon him. So from Adam to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they only had one religion. I'd like to quote upon you a couple of verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Quran, in this regard. But before I go anywhere, I totally forgot to tell you the meaning of verse number 3 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, which the Jews have envied Muslims for. The verse which says, "Today I have perfected your religion for you." Because this verse was revealed on the day of Arafah in the Farewell Hajj, just a couple of months before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. He died 81 days later. After 81 days after the day of Arafah, he died sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his mission was almost completed and perfected. "Today I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you," because guidance and Islam is a favor. It is indeed the greatest favor. Allah's favors are beyond count. He says in one verse in the Quran, "If you try to count Allah's blessings upon you, never will you be able to count them. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا." Yet the greatest blessings at all is to be chosen by Allah to be rightly guided. Because in the hadith, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "Allah the Almighty gives the worldly pleasure to those whom he loves and those whom he does not like. Everybody works hard for it. Allah will grant him some of this life. It is very insignificant for him. It is not even worth of a wing of a fly. But he does not give guidance nor the religious commitment except to those whom he loves." So if you have been rightly guided, that's a great sign that Allah loves you. And you should be grateful to Allah your entire life and try to remain steadfast in order to tell Allah, "Thank you, Allah, for having guided me." So, وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I am pleased with Islam as your religion. That indicates, number one, fact number one, Islam is a perfect and complete religion. It's not a subject of an increase nor decrease. An increase, no innovations in the deen. Once Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, expired, no one can introduce any new act, religious act, in the deen and says it sounds good or it will bring us closer to God, because deen is perfect and complete. The second is an assurance to the Muslims and to their enemies that no one can decrease this religion. It would always prevail until the day of judgment. Because this is Allah's choice to mankind. The third, Allah is pleased with Islam as a religion, so we should not accept any religion other than Islam. The verses which I was talking about, which will indicate and confirm to us that Islam was the religion of all the prophets before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was just a continuation to their work, like another bead in a pearl necklace. Allah the Almighty says in verse number 133 of Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Quran, أَن كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. This is a beautiful verse. In order to learn its meaning and what it signifies, you need to stay tuned and hang around after this short break. Inshallah, we'll have a chance to explain what it means. So please stay tuned. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
سنعود بإذن الله.
بشر بالجنة من أسلم من أسلم من أسلم. أقبل يا شهر محرم ذكرنا بالحدث الأعظم. أقبل يا شهر محرم.
الهجرة درس للأمة كشف القيوم به الأمة.
دعوة عامة تدعوكم قناة الرحمة للهجرة معها يوم الخميس القادم، هجرة إلى الله، هجرة عن المعاصي، في صحبة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. هيا نهاجر. في استقبال العام الهجري الجديد في صحبة علماء الأمة، فضيلة الشيخ محمد حسين يعقوب، فضيلة الأستاذ الدكتور عبد الله شاكر، فضيلة الأستاذ الدكتور جمال المراكبي، فضيلة الشيخ مصطفى العدوي، فضيلة الأستاذ الدكتور طلعت عفيفي، فضيلة الشيخ سعد عرفات، فضيلة الشيخ مسعد أنور، فضيلة الأستاذ الدكتور شهاب الدين أبو زهو، الشيخ عبد الله كامل، والشيخ يوسف معاطي، مع ملهم العسوي. الهجرة غدا من الخامسة والربع مساء، نحن في انتظاركم لنهاجر معا.
طلع البدر علينا من ثنيات الوداع، وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله داع.
عدنا بفضل الله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. With verse number 133 of the second chapter, Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah the Almighty confirms the fact that Islam was the religion of all the prophets before Muhammad, peace be upon him and upon all of them. The verse says, were you guys witnesses when death approached Ya'qub, Prophet Jacob, the father of the Israelites? By the way, Prophet Jacob have two names, a name which is Jacob and another name which is Israel, or Israel in Arabic, which means a servant of God. So the word Israel itself refers to Prophet Jacob, peace be upon him. And when we say the children of Israel, we refer to all the children of Prophet Jacob, including Prophet Joseph and his brother Benjamin, and the other brothers who tried to kidnap and kill or get rid of their brother Yusuf, peace be upon him. So now Prophet Jacob was dying and death was approaching them. He gathered his children. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ. Normally when somebody who's the head of a big family is afraid that he's going to die, or he feels that he's approaching his end, he gathers his children, his family members, in order to pass on to them a wasiyah or a will. So Prophet Jacob, peace be upon him, gathered his children, his sons, and he said his wasiyah, his advice, his farewell advice to his children was, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. So what are you going to worship after me? This is a very straightforward question. And the answer was as well very straightforward. They said, قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. The son said to the father, definitely we are going to worship your God and the God of your fathers and forefathers, Prophet Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac. He is one God, and we're going to submit ourselves unto his will. So that indicates Jacob, Joseph, Benjamin, and all the children of Israel, and all the prophets and the kings who believed in Allah the Almighty, the children of Israel, were Muslims. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Then Allah the Almighty confirms also in a previous verse in the same chapter about Ibrahim alayhi salam, the father of all the prophets. Allah the Almighty says, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهِ. If you guys would like to follow the pure nature, the monotheism which Ibrahim, Prophet Abraham, used to follow, his belief, then it is Islam. And whoever turns away himself from his mission, from his belief, from monotheism, from the belief of Prophet Abraham, he befools himself. He is a foolish person. He's befooling himself. إِذْ قَالَ وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah the Almighty says that we have chosen Abraham to be a prophet in this life, and indeed in the hereafter he is one of the righteous ones. Why? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. When his Lord ordered him to submit himself unto him, to become a Muslim, to become a believer, to believe in monotheism. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ. Then he submitted himself immediately to the will of Allah, لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, to the Lord of everything that exists. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَبَنِيهِ وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ. Then Prophet Abraham, then afterward Prophet Jacob, peace be upon all of them, have enjoined upon their children the same, to worship only Allah the Almighty, to submit themselves unto him, and not to take any partners to Allah in worship. From that we understand that it was indeed the mission of all the prophets, from Ibrahim alayhi salam to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. From Prophet Noah, who said to his people, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ أَلِيمٍ. These two verses are number 25 and 26 of Surah Hud. Allah the Almighty says that we have sent Noah to his people to tell them that I am indeed a very clear warner to you. I'm warning you not to worship other than Allah the Almighty. Because if you do, I'm afraid that you'll receive a severe torment, a very painful one. We go all the way from Noah through Abraham, Moses, Jesus, then finally Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ardah to Yemen. And Yemen was a territory in the peninsula, was occupied mostly by Ahlul Kitab, Jews and Christians, people of the scripture. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised Mu'adh ibn Jabal with the following. He said, O Muaz, you're going to meet with Ahlul Kitab, with the people of the book. So ud'uhum, call them all to Shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is our belief. Simply to believe that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his messenger, is his last messenger. But this is very known, and it doesn't need any further clarification. Yes, it does. Once I was opening a newspaper, and I saw some of the stereotyping that the media, Western media, is constantly stereotyping and bashing Muslims and Islam with. A Muslim was offering his prayer. You know that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that Muslims have been given a quality that no one before them have been given, which is جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا فَأَيُّمَ مْرِئٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي أَدْرَكَتْهُ الصَّلَاةِ فَلْيُصَلِّ. That we can pray anywhere as long as it is pure. We don't have to wait until we go to the masjid if we are journeying or traveling. You can pray even in the plane, on the ship, on the highway. You can pull over and start praying as long as you're facing the Qibla. So this person was praying in the street, and while he was praying, a Coca-Cola truck was passing in front of him. So a photographer took a shot while the person is bound down or prostrating himself while the truck was passing by. And the comment was, Muslims worship Coca-Cola. Can you imagine? And believe it or not, there will be people in the West who would buy it. So once they hear about Muslims, they think that they're retarded people, they worship Coke. They're obsessed about the love of Pepsi, Coke, and so on. That's why they pray to the Coca-Cola truck. So it is our duty to make the message very obvious and clear, to lift the fog, to remove any confusion in order to establish the proof. You never know. Maybe people, after clarifying the truth to them, would accept faith. And this is our experience. In our very short lifetime, we have seen people, once they recognize the truth, they accept faith, and they realize that they have been deceived by their religious leaders, by their elders, by their foreparents, by the entire society. But now it is time to lift the fog. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered Mu'adh ibn Jabal to invite the people of the book first to, not to the prayers, not to fasting, not to perform Hajj. We do not impress people by our ways of worship. Rather, what really impresses people the most is that we only have one God. If you want to communicate with God, you don't have to look for an intermediary. You don't have to go to a church. You don't have to go to the leader of the Muslims or a righteous person. You can just communicate with him directly. How do we know that? We know that through understanding and learning our religion. Brothers and sisters, Muslims and non-Muslims, I gotta tell you something. All humans are inclined into sins. We do commit sins day and night. And Allah the Almighty declared that He is the oft forgiving, the most merciful. He is going to forgive all sins only if the person repents unto Him while believing only in Him as the only true God. Allah the Almighty says in a couple of verses in Surah An-Nisa, one of them is number 48 and the second is number 116. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive shirk, does not forgive setting partners to Him in worship. How could you say that God has a son and you want Him to forgive you? How could you pray to an idol or a statue or a cross or whatever? Then you ask Him to pardon you on the day of recompense. Yet He forgives any sins other than associating others with Him in worship. And whosoever commits shirk and sets partners to Allah in worship has indeed committed a great sin. That is indeed the greatest sin. In the other verse, number 116, it is sealed by saying, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ يَضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. And whoever associates others with Allah in worship has indeed strayed a great deal. Totally went astray. In order to explain to Muslims and non-Muslims as well our religion, what do we believe in? the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam have presented to us the most fantastic and the most comprehensive narration, hadith. It was transmitted to us via the great companion Abdullah, the son of Umar ibn Khattab, and his father Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, was the one who witnessed the incident. The hadith is collected by Imam Muslim, so it is a sound hadith, it is a highly sound hadith. The explanation of this hadith will take us, inshallah, so long. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a long life in order to be able to encompass its great meanings. The hadith says that Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, said, once while we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there appeared before us a man whose clothes were exceedingly white. I want you brothers and sisters to pay close attention to every phrase and every segment of the hadith, because it signifies a great meaning. It is not just a bedtime story. Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, said that one day, while we're sitting with the Prophet, peace be upon him, a man appeared before us, whose clothes were exceedingly white, whose hair was exceedingly black, young, and he did not appear like he was on a journey. He was not journeying. And no signs of journeying were to be seen on him, and none of us knew him. What is this? So he is not from town. Meanwhile, he doesn't seem like he just came from out of town, because he looked neat and nice, exceedingly white clothes and exceeding black hair. He came all the way, he walked until he sat next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right across from him, facing him. Then he rested his knees against the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and placed his own palms on his thighs, on his own thighs, not on the Prophet's thighs. Then he started asking questions. The way he asked questions made it seem to the audience that this guy is non-Muslim. He wanted to know about Islam. He's inquiring about Islam, what Islam is. So he said, O Muhammad. And that's why he did not say, O Prophet Muhammad, which indicated that he did not recognize him. O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islam is to signify that there is no God but Allah, and to signify that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah, the five pillars of the deen, to pray five times a day, to fast during the month of Ramadan, to give zakah or alms if you are financially capable, and to perform hajj if you have the means. Guess what? The questioner said to the Prophet, peace be upon him, sadaqt. He said, you have spoken the truth. You have spoken rightly. So Umar al-Khattab, among the rest of the audience, the companion said, فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُ. We're amazed that if he says that you have spoken the truth, you have spoken rightly, why is he asking him then, if he already knows the answer? Then he presented another question. So what was the first question? He inquired about Islam, what Islam is all about. The second, he said, inform me and tell me about Iman. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iman is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers. Look, messengers, plural. Not just His messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His messengers. And the last day, and to believe in the divine destiny. Both it's good and it's bad. Then he said, Sadaq, you have spoken rightly. Who said so? The questioner. The man who is wearing exceedingly white clothes with exceedingly black hair. He is not from town, nor does he appear like he came from out of town. Very confusing. Then he asked him, tell me about Ihsan. So the first question was inquiring about Islam, and the second was inquiring about Iman. He's upgrading himself in the questions. And the third was about Ihsan. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ihsan is to worship Allah as though you're seeing Him. And while you see Him not, He truly sees you. Oh, this is a very high quality of the deen. Then the questioner said, O Muhammad, tell me about the hour. The hour refers to the day of judgment. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. They ask you about the hour. The hour in Arabic, the hour literally means an hour which consists of 60 minutes. But once the word the hour in the definite format is mentioned in the Quran, then it is referring to the Day of Judgment. One of the names of the Day of Resurrection is As-Sa'ah, or the hour. So he asked him, inform me about the hour. And the question obviously was directed towards about when will it occur? When will it take place? It's time. And please pay close attention in order to sever our relations with fortune tellers for good. In order not to believe anyone who's going to pop up anywhere on in the screen, on the media, newspaper, and says that I predict the Day of Judgment to take place in 20 years from now. Whether this person is a Muslim or non-Muslim, they're definitely lying. Here, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the dearest to Allah, the most beloved to Allah, the most knowledgeable human being ever, the questioner is asking him about the hour. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the one who is questioned about it knows no better than the questioner. It's another beautiful indication here. He said, neither me nor you know anything about its time. When will it occur? When the Day of Judgment will take place? مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. So the questioner said, okay, at least tell me about some of its signs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, number one, that the slave girl would give birth to its mistress. We're going to solve the puzzle and explain in details the meaning of every phrase and shed more light on the entire hadith. It is a very beautiful hadith. We will learn a lot. Non-Muslims as well will gain a lot of benefits and knowledge from the explanation of this magnificent hadith. The first sign is that the slave girl would give birth to her mistress. And the second, that the day will come, he prophesies, when you will see the destitute, the poor, the shepherd, competing with each other in constructing lofty buildings. The tallest, the world's tallest buildings are being built now in the Muslim land. Those signs are coming to pass. And then, he took himself off. And he stayed for a time. Who's saying that? This statement is said by Umar ibn Khattab, the narrator, one of the audience. He said the questioner just took off. While I stayed behind, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me. He said, "Ya Umar, oh Umar, do you know who was the questioner?" The etiquette of the companions. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once they're asked about anything, even if they know, they would say, "Allah and His Messenger know best." He said, "Allah and His Messenger know best." The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, O Umar, it was Gabriel. It was angel Gabriel, disguised as a human being, in a nice looking way, exceedingly black hair, exceedingly white clothes. And he came in order to teach you your religion. So now, when we go back to the beginning of the hadith, and when Umar says that he did not appeal like he is a traveler. They did not travel in planes, nor in air-conditioned means of transportation, rather on the back of their camels. So a traveler would come with dirty clothes, covered with dust and with disheveled hair, but the questioner did not appear any of that. He appeared neat and clean. He smelled good. Meanwhile, nobody recognized him, so he's not from town. He's not from Al-Madinah. Now, this puzzle has been solved. Because the questioner was Jibreel, angel Gabriel, peace be upon him. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, he came in order to teach you your religion. Now, I'm going to pause with this last phrase. The purpose of Gabriel's visit to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the presence of his companions was to teach the entire world what Islam is. That's why the scholars have said, This hadith is a great foundation from which all the different religious sciences branched. If anyone wants to know about Islam, this hadith would be more than sufficient. One of the great interpreters of hadith and the sunnah, his name is Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. By the way, he's the author of the great book Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam, in which he explained the 42 Nawawi hadith in addition to 8 other hadith that he added. Total is 50 hadith. It's a magnificent book. I highly recommend for every Muslim that if you want to learn some useful knowledge, if you're a beginner, if you're a seeker of knowledge, you gotta buy this book. And it is translated in English by Gamaluddin Zarabozo. So it's available both in Arabic and in English. This is a magnificent book. It teaches the Ummah about 50 magnificent ahadith. So Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, may Allah have mercy on him, said this hadith is a great hadith because it covers the entire religion. It talks about the different levels of belief of Islam. It talks about Islam itself, it talks about Iman, it talks about Ihsan, it talks about belief in the last day and the signs which will precede the occurrence of the Day of Judgment. And that's why the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, he came in order to teach you your religion. Another scholar said that this hadith covered all the good actions, that whether the inner or the outer actions. Because basically when we talk about the inner actions, the actions of the heart, then it is the second level, which is Iman. Believing in Allah, in His angels, in His books, in the last day, in His messengers. These are the actions of the heart. Ihsan likewise. The outer actions or the actions of our limbs were presented in this hadith in the form of asking about Islam. So it covers both the inner and the outer actions. That's why they said this hadith is a very comprehensive hadith. I have heard our eminent Shaykh Muhammad Hassan, may Allah preserve him, transmitting the statement of the great Mufassir al-Imam al-Qurtubi when he said once, this hadith is considered the mother of the entire Sunnah, the mother of the entire traditions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. As we start explaining the hadith, we will find out, brothers and sisters, that this hadith did not leave anything of the deen and all the different sciences, religious sciences, stem and branched out of this hadith. So that's why that's going to be our cornerstone in the series of explaining to Muslims and non-Muslims as well, what is our belief, aqidatuna, and what do we believe in? And what are the contradictions of this belief? And what's required from any person to be a true believer in order to receive salvation on the Day of Judgment? One incident, a great companion by the name Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah, may Allah be pleased with him, said that once the Prophet, peace be upon him, was sitting with us, and he gave us a very powerful advice, a very powerful speech. So we were frightened, to the point that our hearts wiggle and our eyes shed tears. So we asked him, O Messenger of Allah, it sounds like a farewell speech. So advise us, give us a comprehensive advice. So among the advices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the group of the companions who were present at this time, he said, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسَوْفَ يَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا أَوْ فَسَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. He prophesied a great deal of controversy after his death. He said, those who live after me shall see a great deal of controversy and differences. So what is the salvation in the rescue boat in the middle of this dilemma and differences? He said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. Very, very important statement. He said, if you want to be saved, if you don't want to be tried with these trials and tests, then adhere to my traditions and the traditions of the rightly guided caliphs, khulafa, after me. He said, hold on fast to them, bite on my traditions and the traditions of the rightly guided caliphs by your molars, by your teeth. As a metaphor, it is very important to stick to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to be saved during turbulent times. And with regards to who are the rightly guided caliphs, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in one hadith said that the Khilafah after me, the rightly guided caliphs who would succeed me, will be only for the period of 30 years. 30. From Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, all the way to Ali ibn Abi Talib, it was 29 and 6 months. 29 years and 6 months. So, it's not 30 years yet. Then, Al-Hasan, Ali's son, may Allah be pleased with him and his father and all the companions, took over and he became the caliph only for 6 months before he resigned. And he gave it up and he transferred the khilafah to Muawiyah, may Allah be pleased with all of them. So the 30 years of the khilafah covered, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described as a rightly guided era, and those people whom we should follow after his death, in case that there is anything that's not presented in the Quran or in the Sunnah, after that, this is it. That covers all the way from Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and finally, Al-Hasan, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with all of them. So, this hadith is narrated by the second rightly guided Khalifa, Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, and it will be our foundation from which we're going to spread everywhere to cover different aspects of the deen, to explain to Muslims their belief, and how to remain steadfast on the straight path until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safe and secure, and not to deviate, since the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once a man came to him and said, tell me something in the deen that I don't have to ask anybody else after you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say, amantu billah thumma istaqim. Say, I believed in Allah, then remain steadfast in this statement. Do not deviate. This hadith, brothers and sisters, is going to be the beginning of a long series of explaining our belief, our way of life, our deen. It will cover politics, it will cover religion, it will cover different sciences of religion, because Islam is not limited to a space nor to a specific time. Islam is a religion which was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that people would worship Allah via this religion. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam. So bear with us, and meanwhile expect us inshallah live once every week, basically on Wednesday inshallah around the same time. We're going to explain the hadith. Hopefully inshallah next time we'll begin by explaining the biography of the great companions, the narrators of this hadith, Abdullah the son of Umar al-Khattab and his father, may Allah be pleased with all of them. I highly recommend for you brothers and sisters to have a printout of the hadith in Arabic and try to memorize it, and also understand its meaning in English, because we're going to study it in details all together by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the end of this episode, brothers and sisters, I ask Allah the Almighty to make it easy for us to learn His deen and comprehend it, then act upon it. In a very beautiful hadith, which is narrated by Muawiyah, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. If Allah intends to do good to somebody, He will make him comprehend his religion. O Allah, make us all comprehend our religion. O Allah, keep us steadfast on the straight path. O Allah, make us not die, but in a state of Islam. O Allah, pardon us our sins and admit us to your heaven by your mercy. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Until next time, brothers and sisters, and leave you in peace. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you.